just a bartender. I don't like my work, but I don't mind the money at all. I've seen lots of sad faces, seen lots of bad cases of folks with their backs to the wall. To help keep me from slipping away. I need a honky tonk angel to hold my life. To help keep me from slipping away. The smoke fills the air in this honky tonk bar, and I'm thinking about where I'd rather be. I could gas up my old car, I could close down Lord's bar, I could cash out and still need four walls around me to hold my life, to help keep me from slipping away. I need a honky tonk angel to hold me tight, to help keep me from slipping away, to help keep me from slipping away. Hey, 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 hey.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Buddy.
I'm Devin.
I've known Buddy and Devin for a few years now, worked with them pretty close, and not only are they outstanding salesmen, but they can also pick a little, sing a little,
and tell good stories.
And tell some good stories.
That's right.
So they're a perfect fit. They're a perfect fit. So we invited them on the show, and we're going to have a good time. We hope y'all enjoy this episode of the Hayden Outbound Podcast.
Episode 60, and it'll be the first show with music.
Buddy said, I may not look like it, but I've done some things.
I've been around, son.
Been around for, yeah. How long did you say? 12 years, right?
About 12 years full time. Sure enough, yeah. Played music. We played everywhere.
What was the name of your band?
Flat Lonesome. FLATT. Flat with two T's, like Lester Flat and Earl Scruggs. Flat Lonesome was a band name. We played everywhere, man. We played the Yukon up in Canada. We played Michigan, California. I'm talking about everywhere. It's taxing.
Four states, we got them all.
That's right, all four.
And everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know what's between those four, but
they're in there, yeah. In amongst it, too.
That's right. Yeah, it looks like squares from an airplane. I'm not sure, you know.
You can see the lines from up there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man. Real prominent.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we kind of started. My dad's a preacher, and we had a family band, and you know, when dad would go preach revivals and things like that, we would we'd play music at these revivals and stuff like that. Yeah. So I did that until you know, we were close to graduating high school, and we've got some friends of ours that live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. They're all successful musicians and know a lot of people in the business, things like that. Well, they called us up and said, hey, y'all should put a band together and come play this Spigma band competition.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we did, and drove up there. You know, it's about a 12-hour drive from Florida where we lived at the time. Dad pastored a church in Florida. And drove up there, and, you know, we thought it was just big time stuff, you know. And played the band competition. I think we placed second or third the first time we played it.
That's pretty good.
So, you know, we were excited. You know, it ain't bad.
To start off with.
Right. So, long story short, we come back the next year and played the band competition again. We won first place.
All right.
So, you know, that we got some bookings scheduled, you know, and some dates booked, things like that off of that. And, you know, it just snowballed from there. We worked really hard at it. Spent a lot of time, you know, working on new material and things like that. You know, that's the thing about music business, and Devin can vouch for me on this. You know, it's a lot of work, lot more than...
Well, a lot of work for very little reward in the bluegrass industry. Right. I mean, they just ain't a ton of money floating around in bluegrass.
People don't seem to like it for some reason enough to pay.
Yeah.
We'll listen to it, but we ain't going to pay you for it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun if you can come up with money some other way.
Yeah. You got to find some other way to
make
pay
a living
bills.
And play bluegrass on the side.
I've made tens of dollars playing music.
Tens of dollars.
It's kind of like a glorified fishing hobby.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Except one you enjoy and one you don't.
Well, not too long ago, we were sitting around talking, and y'all were telling me stories about some very prominent vocal artists that most people would probably know about.
Right.
So if you were to tell maybe some of the highlights, some of the real funny stories of playing music, going to shows, what would you tell some? One story you got to tell?
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Since he's been talking so much, I'll probably start off.
Give us a break.
Yeah, let him rest.
I didn't think you wanted to talk. You had them glasses on.
Well, I just didn't want to see.
I got you.
So I was on tour with Celine Dion back in about 2018.
Backup dancer, right?
Huh?
Backup banjo.
Yeah, backup banjo player.
Is he being serious?
And
That's time. I just gotta take a time. We don't usually do this. Are you being serious?
Well, devil no. She don't have a banjo in her band.
Okay. I was having a hard time hearing that near far.
I can do it. I mean, there ain't nothing to that part.
I don't mean people want to hear.
I thought I'd get you some stock laugh footage for Shane. You can dub that
just
in.
Dub
just
that
laugh
in.
For 8 hours. But
dubs.
Anyway, so we're back on the program?
Yeah, we're back on it.
No, we ain't
time,
never left.
Time in.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Tag, you're it. Well, I really, there's so many things that have happened. Maybe we ought to tell them how we met.
Nah,
I'll tell them.
Nah.
Tell them, Devin.
So, you know, they've been getting a little popularity over there.
A lot more than you.
And, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, easy. I wasn't really trying.
Nah, you were a banker.
And, I was used to be really square, 490-degree angles.
Four corners.
You know, just all the time. And
you run the opposite way of a good time.
Yeah, if there was fun to be had, I was headed out.
You're going to be part of it.
If it's going to cost him anything special.
Well, okay, let's go back to this, though. My master plan and my best thinking, okay, was to play the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
When I, you know, that was what I wanted to be, was a banjo player.
Man, you,
so anything after that point, you know, you got to give a little grace to.
Yeah,
that's a bad plan from the start.
So
the plan was to be a banjo player.
A very successful banjo, good looking and talented banjo player. Probably wanted worldwide for his talents. And anyway, they'd started getting kind of popular. And the first couple times I was around him, I absolutely hated him.
Yeah.
That's because he couldn't beat me. That's all that was. He
couldn't stand him. He was a kid, and he had a lot of product in his hair, a lot of spikes going on.
And he stank.
Yeah. Well, a little sweaty out there in
Arkansas. Yeah, it gets hot out there in them cornfield bluegrass festivals.
It does, especially in the summer.
Right.
You know, we were playing a show down in Louisiana, down there about DeVille with some friends of ours, and I was kind of dreading going down there being tied up with him all weekend because I knew he'd be there.
Have you ever heard of DeVille, Louisiana?
DeVille?
They're famous for the DeVille eggs.
Exactly.
DeVille eggs.
That's exactly the point.
It's so by Alexandria.
Nobody
right
has.
Right off 28.
You got to go there on purpose.
Just past Jonesville. We were down there. We were doing our deal, and I'd seen him running around, you know, and I'm kind of thinking, I really don't want to have to run into this guy because I didn't know him.
He was afraid
of
me.
You know, I just made my own conclusions. We're fairly accurate. And we got in a jam at night, and everything clicked, you know, which is – it's pretty rare, you know. I mean, you've got to play music with somebody for a while to figure out what their, you know, what their natural tendency is going to be and be able to, it's kind of like reading people.
And when you say jam, you don't mean like a pickle.
Not jelly. No, yeah, we had broke out into a festive hour or two of playing music.
Yeah, bluegrass music.
Just informally and had a little campfire there going. It's cold, awfully cold.
Oh, it's cold.
And so, you know, finally it come up time for a break and we were all glad of that. And so he came up to me over at the side, said, "Where are you from?" I'm thinking, man, here's this guy. And I said, "Well, I'm from North Alabama. What about you?" He said, "You know where Coleman is?" Of course, didn't answer my question. "You know where Coleman is?" I said, "Yeah, I know where Coleman is. It's probably an hour, hour and a half away." He said, "I like the way you play banjo. I'm moving there in a month or two." He said, "Give me a number. I'll call you." So I thought, man, well, into the transaction, gave him the number. He'll never call me.
Yeah.
And that's been about, what, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
Never call me. Mm-hmm. He never called
no,
you?
No.
I did once. And he figured out I wasn't there as bad as what he thought.
I wish you'd never called me. Maybe it's been my best friend since. So then we've kind of run all over the country and terrorized fans of bluegrass music hither and yon. And just made a lot of pretty cool memories we're fixing to share with you guys if you have any interest in it at all. And if you don't, now would be a good time to turn to something else. It's good stuff, I promise. Yeah.
Now's a good time to leave.
Yeah, that's
so swipe.
Yeah, right.
Swipe. I ran out of stuff to say.
Man, I don't believe that. Not for one second.
We're just getting into it. So, you want to take off on something?
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So, they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So, clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
So I'll tell you a cool story. When I debuted on the Opry.
Grand Ole Opry.
That's right.
In Tennessee, Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee, up there where all the big people play.
No, you know? Facts.
Yeah. Big money up there. You know, we thought we had made it, son. I'm talking about.
As a musician.
A magician.
Magician.
Yeah.
You think at some point in time, I've made it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's probably one of them. I'm playing on the Grand Ole Opry. I've made it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and all I, you know, this is a debut. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm nervous. And the only thing I can think is, you know, there's a good chance I mess this up. You know, I've made, you know, my whole life is made up of one bad decision after another. I've learned everything the hard way. You know what I mean? If there's an easy way to learn something, I'd rather take the hard road. Yeah. So, thanks. So anyway, we get in there and I'm trying to play it cool. You know, like, nah, I'm not nervous. You know, I've been doing this for years. So we're going around and we had this this manager and she knew everybody there, knows everybody in the business, country music, bluegrass, she knows them all. So she's going around introducing us to all these people. Well, she introduced us to John Conley. And I love traditional country music, classic mm-hmm. country. That's what I was raised on. I love it. So it's a big deal meeting him.
Yeah, so you knew who he was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So she introduces us, and I'm a little starstruck, you know, and I shook his hand and said, "Nice to meet you," and all that. And one thing led to another. I can't remember exactly how it segued into this, but he reaches in his coat pocket, and, you know, his song Rose Colored Glasses is big, big hit.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah.
How does it go?
I don't know why I keep on believing you need me. But he reaches in his coat and pulls his glasses out, the rose-colored glasses, and hands them to me and gives them to me. Yeah, right wow. before we went on stage. It was really cool.
Was that a confidence booster? Did that mess you up as you were going on stage thinking that just happened?
A little bit.
It wasn't a confidence booster. It was more like made it even more nerve-wracking.
Yeah, he was like, okay, here's these, you know, if you can't ever live up to it.
Carry it on.
Well,
yeah.
It didn't match what he was wearing at the time. So
no, I was wearing a blue suit. Yeah. But no, it was cool. I think my manager had told him we did that song. We played that in all of our sets. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of the songs we were playing that on the Opry. So I wore those glasses and sang rose colored glasses on the Opry.
Wow, that is cool.
It was really cool. Really nice.
How did you do?
I think we did good considering. The thing that's tough, you know.
Consider Devin was there.
I was there. Of course, I had to buy tickets.
Yeah. I wasn't going to waste a good backstage pass on him. I mean, good Lord.
No.
I'm trying to make people think I'm somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And then Cat Hat comes in, you know, with his aviators on. I didn't go.
Yeah, where do I park the bulldozer?
Right, yeah.
Well, you had those rose colored glasses on. I mean, I just fit you in. Just fit yeah. right in. I didn't have none. I had to wear these.
Well, you know.
Did you get those from Tom Cruise?
No, I bought them offline somewhere.
Timu.
I don't know Tom.
Yeah, Timu. Is it knockoff Ray Bans?
Those are Roy Bans.
Yeah, Roy Bans. Raymond Bans. So that was a really cool experience. And the thing is about that, you know, all the butterflies. So we did 3 songs a day, 2 or 3. And by the time you get to your last song, it's about the time you get the butterflies out. And that's when you finally, you calm down and you feel loosened up. You know?
I wish I could play 3 more, but I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of them deals where the first couple songs, you know, you feel like you sound like a goat because you got all the nerves and your voice is shaking. Yeah. You know,
there's no auto-tune at the opera either. So if you sound like a goat, everybody knows you sound like a goat.
You know, so, yeah. They know you as Billy from now on, you know, Billy Goat.
I don't know if anybody else is going to be interested in this, but I'm dying. I got many questions. Put it on, brother. I got so many questions. Yeah. So when you're invited on, you meet John Connolly, you go out there. So you're just on the stage. They pull the curtain and how many people are in there?
It'll hold 4,600.
Yeah. There's a bunch.
And it was packed.
I mean, and the thing is, it's kind of built up, you know, so as far as you can see up, as far as you can see through the stage lights, there's people. I mean,
everybody can see.
Yeah. And you're thinking, and is it going through your head how many great artists have played on the stage?
You know, I stand center, you know, center of the stage, so I'm standing right in the circle.
Oh wow!
You know, with the hardwood floor.
The big guy stays in the middle.
I mean, I don't want to take my own horn, but daggum, I mean, I'm standing in the center. So
right there where Bill Monroe himself stood.
That's exactly right. So, you know, there's all that stuff goes through your head, you know. And the thing is it don't help. I think I got there 3 hours early or something like that. So there was nobody there. And I walk out on the stage, I think me and my dad, you know, so I'm debuting on the Opry. Me and my dad walk out on the stage and I'm standing there and it's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The feelings, you're standing in that circle, looking out in this auditorium, you know, it's going to be packed and, you know, a matter of time. And you're just going, you know, your goal is just do the best you can and not to make a fool out of yourself, you know?
Well, so that's our goal too today.
Yes.
We don't do very good at that, but we set the bar there every week.
Right. What about your debut?
Good luck, Devin. Didn't you debut one time?
I got this one in the bag.
Are you in the market to buy or sell a home or a piece of land? The experienced team at White Real Estate is ready to partner with you. Darren and Rhiannon White, Ryan Love, and Lisa Sloan are one call or email away. As a homeowner who has received their help, I encourage you, give them a call today at the number included in the show notes.
Yeah, you usually only debut once, and after that, it's just repeat, you know, welcome backs and not whatnot. Beef. So I'd made a living through college, played music with a band that we'd started. And actually, you know, my sales career, we kind of talked about, I started out selling fried pies all over the United States. We were sponsored by a purveyor of fried pies. And so my job was to sell somewhere around 400 to 500 a weekend, and that would be about a 3 or 4 day run.
How'd you do?
Oh, normal MAPCO wouldn't sell that many in 2 weeks. So I thought I was pretty good. You know, I didn't get an award or anything, but I probably should have. And anyway, I was in school. I've got an accounting degree and a finance degree that I've never used, and was supposed to be studying for finals, and I'm playing Xbox, you know, which is a habit I've quit. And my phone rings. Well, I used to also sell instruments pretty heavily too, so it wasn't anything for me to get a phone call from, you know, a number I didn't have. And I said, "Hello, this is Devin." And the guy said, "Devin?" Yes, what I said. You know, it's Devin.
That's me.
He said, "It's Bob Osborne." So if you don't know, the Osborne brothers, they had the original cut on Rocky Top and, you know, kind of pulled bluegrass through the 70s and 80s and even the 60s, kind of when rock was taking over in the country and took it to a lot of places. It wouldn't have been the White House, and they played all over the world. But I really didn't know what to say. I said, "Well, did you get the wrong number?" He said, "No, what are you doing?" I said, "Playing Xbox."
I said, "What are you doing?
What can I help you with, sir?" And I'd been a big fan of theirs forever. All the other kids, I guess, in town were listening to Jay-Z or whoever raps. I don't know. And I'm listening to the Osborne Brothers.
Snoop Pup
and the rest of them kiddies. And so I said, "I'm playing Xbox." He goes, "Yeah, okay. And he said, "What are you doing Saturday night?" I said, well, I don't know. I said, I graduate college Saturday morning. He said, well, are you going to be doing that all day? I don't know. I've never done it before. So
I mean, like, this time one more makes two.
I'll just be here for the long haul. When they run me off, I'll leave. He said, okay, that's fine. I need you to come to Nashville. And I'm still wondering, like, how does he have my number?
Wait a minute. I got lots of questions.
We had met at the Ernest Tubb record shop, and it was a very brief and interesting encounter, you know. And I didn't think he thought anything of me. And I'm over there just like drooling, watching him walk around. That's Bob Osborne, you know. Jeez Louise, this is cool. I might be something someday. And I said, well, yeah, I can come to Nashville. I said, well, what time? He said, 9 o'clock. I said, where? And he goes, I said, are we playing the Opry? He said, yeah, something like that. And I said, I'll have to call you back. I just hung up the phone. You know, I got to call you back. And so I nearly didn't do it.
Did you really hung up the phone?
Yeah. I had to do it because he couldn't catch me by surprise if he did it. It was already on my mind.
And I will hang up.
Yeah. I just cut him off, you know. And so I nearly didn't do it. Just because I really hadn't been playing that much, you know, I was in school. I got off the road maybe a month earlier, and just, you know, like when I was a professional football player, you know, I just quit working out when I got out of the NFL. And so thought about it, and I said, well, you know, if I don't, I'll probably never get the opportunity to again because I'm not extraordinarily talented.
Did you hear that?
So, yeah, exactly.
Right. Opportunity.
And so I called him back. I said, yeah, I'll be there. And he said, okay, great. We'll play two songs. We're talking about guys, they've got a 50-year recording
career.
I mean, yeah. They've got hundreds of songs.
Could be anything.
Yeah. And I never learned any of them. Yeah. Like, I knew the words. I love their singing, but Sonny's banjo just wasn't my thing. And I said, well, at that time, I love it now.
Yeah, at that time.
That sounds kind of bad. But and he said, yeah, we'll probably do Rocky Top, which, I mean, that's a given. He did that every week. And he said, then we'll do another one. I said, well, you have any idea what that might be? Because I might need to learn it, you know? He goes, you'll figure it out. And so he texted me later.
As far as he was concerned, you should already know all their songs.
He texted me like Friday morning, okay? And he says, hey, you know that song, The Old Oak Tree we cut in the 70s on that record that they got out of print? I said, no.
No,
record's
don't,
out of print. I can't get it. Doesn't he said, well, I cut it on my new record. I said, where can I get your new record? He said, it comes out in 2 weeks. I said, oh, man, this is really adding up. But I knew the guy that wrote it. Jake Landers in Muscle Shoals, and I was going to UNA. And went to Jake's house, and Jake was like, yeah, you'll get it, man, no problem. And we just visited, like, didn't accomplish anything I needed to know. And
not any closer to knowing nothing, the Old Oak Tree.
Yeah. And on Friday, okay, so they have the Friday Night Opry, and I was playing on Saturday where the Stars play, and they have, like, Eddie Stubbs used to have this request hour.
How'd you get in?
Sometimes dry as a mouth full of sand. So Eddie Stubbs would always do this thing after the opera. It was request hour. You know, you call in, he'd play anything anybody wanted to hear except me. I called, I said, this is going to sound like a very strange request. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to have Bobby's newest record that's coming out in 2 weeks? He said, yeah, I've got it in my briefcase. I said, okay, I'm playing the opera tomorrow night.
With him.
With you him.
Still haven't practiced this song.
Have never heard it. Okay. It's just words.
Like two most days songs. Left.
Yeah, no. This is the night before. This is Friday night.
One day left. Yeah.
We're getting down to the wire. And I said, so I'm playing an opera with Bob. And I said, it would really mean a lot to me if you would just play that song. He said, yeah, well, we'll see what we can do for you, Devin. And I sat there till 1 o'clock in the morning when he went off. And at the very end of the program, he played Let's Be Sweethearts Again by the Osborne Brothers and sent it out to me, which did me no good.
No good.
That wasn't the one you wanted to hear.
No, it didn't. Once again, I have no help in this. I'll try to make it brief. I go graduate college with honors, you know, like I was probably expected to do. I'm not really concerned about wearing a dress and a silly looking hat. I want to get up there and get to the Opry, but I'd never been before. I just like seeing it on TV, you know, and it's raining cats and dogs. So I've got my mom, my sister, my dad with me, you know, and I called my buddy. I knew a guy that was playing guitar for Bobby at the time. I said, hey, where do I need to drop my folks off? You know, like, I reckon I got to go in a different door. He said, oh, yeah. Look, just drive around. You'll see a bunch of lights, big doors. Let them out there. They'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I let them off at the Gaylord, you know, like way, 200 yards away.
Yeah, that's a good bit away from
there. But we only had one umbrella because, I had to look good. And
you were a star. So
I was a star. And the curly hair I had didn't do well with the rain.
Yeah.
So we get back there. Bobby is as nice to me as anybody ever could have been. Okay. And he said, man, I've been looking forward to this. And I'm still thinking, like, you heard me play for 30 seconds before you, shot out of the record shop up there. And he said, well, let me show you around. So he showed me, all these pictures of folks who were contemporaries of his. I mean, Hank Williams Sr., Ernest Tubb, all those guys. And we passed little Jimmy Dickens in the hall, and he introduced himself and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I met him one time. We did.
Coleman County Fair.
Coleman County Fair.
So,
sure did. Got a signature on hat.
Yeah. little Jim was great, And so we go into warm up. At this time, Bobby's 84 years old. Okay. And
been around the block.
Still a hoss.
Several times.
Still a hoss. And he said, do you know Rocky Top? I said, yeah, I think so. He said, I hope you do. He said, because if not, you're going to be the most embarrassed man that's ever lived, because about 2 million people fixing to hear it, across the world on radio and all that kind of thing. So I had to be sure I knew it. We walked out, and I'm there under the guise that I'm just filling in for Chicken Hawk, who was playing banjo for him at the time.
Yeah.
And so Bobby, we're standing there in the wings. Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood are playing. House is packed. The back's packed. It's pretty cool setup. And he said, well, Bobby clicks a lot when he talks. Well, Devin, he said, I'm looking for a banjo player. I said, well, good luck finding one, Bobby.
Yeah.
Still no clue.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I figured there wasn't a better place to travel now than right over there. And that's when it hit me. This is like an audition,
Yeah.
And they had to sneak it in on me because, I was fairly aloof. Yeah. And I said, well, man, I really can't. I'm going to get a job at a bank. I'm sure somebody's going to hire me. I don't have a job yet, but I'm sure they'll be lined up. I've got a resume and a suit. And he said, well, I said, and I thought I was just here filling in. He goes, yeah, well, I fired Chicken Hawk. And okay. And he said, yeah, so he's no longer with us, and it's your night to audition. And so we get there. Jeannie Seeley's bringing us on.
Holy moly.
And he's just putting the pressure on like the old guys used to do.
That's what they did.
Yeah, because they were good mean people.
Mean-spirited.
Yeah, mean-spirited. And he's just putting, tightening the screws on
just
a little bit.
Just tightening the screws up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Jeannie's bringing us on, talking about his new record that hasn't been released and I still haven't heard, don't know anything about. Before we walked on, Eddie Stubbs is standing there, the guy from the radio show the night before. And he says, I am so sorry. You must be Devin. I said, yes, sir, I am.
That's me.
He said,
Mr. Eddie.
I can't apologize enough. I said, well, it's on now, Chief. And so,
don't think I won't remember this.
Yeah. I'll never like you again.
I got one question. Yeah. You still have not heard this song?
We went over like one verse of it backstage.
You, and now, okay.
It's a lot of guesswork.
I'm kind of sweating at this point.
I'm sweating.
Yeah.
It's just the intensity of the story.
and the clicks.
And the clicks. Oh, Bobby's great. But so Jeannie's bringing us on, and Bobby said, hey, come here. And so I walked over. He said, step in a circle. Now, they've been a member since like 64. So, I mean, my dad was born in 64. Yeah. He's been there every weekend forever.
It's like it's a second home to Bobby.
Right. Yeah, kind of. And he said, stand in a circle right here. I said, yeah, what about it? He goes, you nervous? I said, yeah, a little bit. He said, you'll be fine. It's normal. And he said, but you need to understand the importance of what you're doing. And he said, Bill Monroe stood right here, like you mentioned earlier. He said,
George, the father of bluegrass. That's what they called him.
He said, George Jones stood right here. He said, Hank Williams Sr. got sick on this stage and he threw up on the same wood you're standing on. He said, he's the man. He said, little Jimmy Dickens. He said, you walk by him in the hall. He said, Roy Acuff used to play here every weekend. I'm getting chills right now thinking about it. And
cold.
And he said, no, I've got a long sleeve. Oh. And he said, you need to understand that what you're doing is important. And for me especially it was because I had quit music and then the next step was I get to play the Opry. So it was a pretty good plan for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of opposite of how most people go about it.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm different. And
we know that.
Jeannie gets done with her deal. He said, I'm Bobby Osborne, and this is the Rocky Top Express. And looks at me, and then there's Rocky Top. Boom.
Go.
Yeah. And like Buddy said, it's the fastest passage of time I think a person ever experiences. You don't get a chance to enjoy anything.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just over.
It's literally when you're done, it's you don't even know. You have no idea if you did good, if you completely messed it up. Like it goes so fast and there's so much emotion and
that,
nerve.
That obviously I've never done and will Probably never. Let me get your banjo.
How did the other song go? That's where I'm at. What, tell me about the other song.
We only had to play one. I found that out as we walked onto the stage. I was nervous as a tick.
Nice. He probably did that on purpose, too.
Yeah, that's probably one of his little stunts.
But the thing that Devin didn't tell you is Devin nailed it, too. He nailed
Rocky Top. Absolutely. And what did he say? So the audition, that was your audition. Mm-hmm. What'd they say after the show?
You fired. No, I'm kidding. I just ran away like a little girl as soon as I ended it up. And went back, had my banjo in the case. I thought, man, this couldn't have gone any worse because I can't even remember what happened. Like, yeah, it's gone. Weird. It's blank, yeah. You know? It's
weird.
And so Bobby comes back there and he's like not making eye contact with me. I thought, this is great.
It's great.
He hates me.
Yeah.
And he goes, you got the job. I said,
on the spot.
Well, Bobby, I've got to go to work and, you know, I've got a degree and I got to go work at a bank or something like that. He said, no, scratch that. I want you to play for me, you know? And I said, well, it's a dream. Like, really? I said, and I'm trying to come up with every excuse I can possibly muster. And I said, you know, I love you guys' music. I've listened to you for so long and it's the singing that gets me and you don't want me to sing with you. And I said, so I just never learned any of Sonny's banjo stuff. And the Osborne brothers, Sonny being the banjo player, it's a very important part of his sound. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you know, it's kind of like this, Hoss. I said, okay. He said, I called you up here because I like the way you play and I want to hear you play. And he said, I stood beside that brother of mine 50 years. He said, I've heard all of him I want to hear. And which is like crazy, you know. But he said, well, who do you like? I said, well, I like J.D. Crowe. He said, yeah, it'll work, which is like my hero, you know.
Yeah.
And like he wouldn't let me say no. So I ended up, I just kind of filled in. I think I did 12, 13 dates between jobs, you know, and then I would go up some weekends. He wanted me to come back and play the rhyming and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Man, that's crazy, cool. Man. That is really
Thanks.
Cool. I mean, I still don't like you, but man, that was really good story.
Well, it don't get any better. I still don't. I've been friends with him for 13 years and still don't like him.
You've seen the best at this point.
Exactly.
Well, and
it ain't much.
He wasn't never looking back at him in a mirror. I promise you that.
About the time you were, and you had me, and again, I don't know what's truth and what's not, but you still had me about Daryl Singletary.
Oh, we forgot to put Daryl in there. Holy moly.
That's weird you said that. I was literally thinking Daryl when you just said that.
I need to start a band.
So I need to.
So I'll kind of, for the people who don't know, Daryl Singletary was, in my opinion, the greatest country music singer of my time. Okay, he sings, you know, his hero was George Jones. He could sing the phone book and it, you know, it makes make the hair good on the back of your neck stand up. Yep. He was an absolute powerhouse vocalist.
That was Daryl Singletary, George Jones.
Exactly. So the first time I met Daryl, we were still young and I'm still, you know, trying to rub elbows with the fame a little bit up there, you know, trying to meet new people and press palms and, you know, just trying to get somebody who matters to like me, which is hard because my wife don't even like me most of the time. It's hard to get
anybody to like you, really.
I agree. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a job, you know, but in all seriousness, we went to the station inn in Nashville one night. Seems like maybe it was the same week as Spigma 1 year. And
you say Spigma. Spigma is a big, it's like a consortium, it's an
acronym,
of
yeah.
Yeah.
bluegrass folks.
Southern yeah. Preservation
Society for Society. The Preservation of Bluegrass Music in America.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Spigma.
I'll pay you later. So anyway, so we had been up there and they had this show at the station inn, and I think the band that was there was what was that? 45 RPM. And it was a deal where they would have, I think, Rhonda Vincent sung some that night, and then Daryl sung some. And there's several other people that they'd have sit in and sing, you know.
Just so, like deep cut country stuff, too. Right. So nothing you would hear on the radio,
right?
You know, today.
The good stuff.
Or even back then.
So I listened to Daryl Singletary sing Footlights by Merle Haggard. And seemed like he sang maybe Big City or something like this. So maybe he did two Merle Haggard songs. But I remember listening to that and thinking, this is what I want to sound like mm-hmm. when I sing. I mean, I was absolutely blown away. I've never heard to this day anybody sing in a live setting that sounded as good as he sounds. So I'm just freaking out. You know, so after he gets done singing, I went over and met him, shook his hand. He was nice. You know, I took a picture with him and left, and I just left starstruck. Well, fast forward several years, we played a lot of the same venues together. We played a Musicians Against Childhood Cancer show every year. Daryl was there 1 year, and after he played his show, he asked me, he said, you want to come on the bus? So I went on the bus with Daryl, and we sat in there and sang and talked. And Daryl was one of the funnest people to just sit and just, if he could be just in this sitting, with, like yeah. telling stories, he's hilarious. He had a bunch of good stories. You sit and talk to him for hours. So I kind of got a little bit closer with him there. And there was one night he was playing at the Nashville Palace, and I called Devin. I said, hey, I said, let's ride up to Nashville and go see Daryl. He had to work the next morning. It was the middle of the week.
Yeah, take a pause right
at
there.
At the bank.
On a whim.
Our
typical week consisted of, I would get off work at 5:30, be in Coleman by somewhere around 7, and stay up till approximately 4:30, 5:30 in the morning if we're fishing, you know, watch the sun come up, 30-minute nap, go back, and it was something every single night. So mm-hmm. we might go to Nashville three times in a week.
Yeah. I mean, we still managed
to hold a job.
Yeah. Wow. We did that for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Devin. He's at work. I said, hey, I said, when you quick as you get off, I said, jump in the car. Let's go to Nashville. Let's go see Daryl. And, you know, he's like, dang, man. He said, you know, we won't be back tomorrow morning. I said, that'll be all right. Let's do it.
I was still square.
Yeah. He had four corners. So, Devin gets down there. Hey, we jump in my truck and we take off and, get up there, and I called Daryl on the way. I said, hey, I said, you know, do I need to buy a ticket, or like, how's this whole situation? Is there like a, you know, a cover charge when you walk in? He said, no. He said, when you get there, he said, there won't be nobody on there, but go on a bus. I got two backstage passes. Grab those. And he said, and they'll let you in. I done told him about it at the front door. You'll be fine. I said, oh, cool. Yeah, that'll work. So we get there and find a parking spot, and I go up there on the bus and find him. It's a backstage pass from like 3 years prior.
Yeah.
You know, but he assured me, you know,
hey,
everything's fine. He assured me everything's good. He done let him know at the front door. So I said, okay. I get him, and I give one to Devin. He said the same thing. He said, it's for like 3 years ago.
This thing's gone bad on us, buddy.
I said, no, it'll be all right. So we walk in there, and of course, we make an idiot out of ourselves. Right, we walk in. I walk up for you, hand her that backstage pass, and she looks at me and said, I can't take this.
It's for three years ago.
Yeah. What do you mean? I said, I talked to Daryl on the way here. He's like, yeah, okay. I'm sure you
did. Yeah, I'm sure you did talk to Daryl.
So did all the other people in here.
He said, lady, if Daryl said we were on the list, we're on the list. Yeah. Now let me see. And got around there, and there's something else.
I kind of leaned around like, yes, and made eye contact. He's on stage singing. He's between songs talking.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, hey, Buddy and Devin. He said, y'all come in here. So I looked at the lady. I said, I mean,
I told
it's
you.
It's hard to get any more confirmation than that.
Told you.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I mean, he just called me by name.
Yeah.
So we get in there.
I will.
We get in there, and he sings his butt off for the, you know, another 2 hours. And he gets done. He says, hey, y'all come to the bus. So we walk up there, and this is a cool story. So we get up on his bus, and me and Devin and him, he had this joke. I don't know. He was stuck on this joke. He took his boots off and, you know, kicked his old sweaty feet up, and he had these socks on. They were blue. And he kept saying, these socks were white this morning when I put them on. Of course, maybe
about Devin, every 30 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he said he had the blues, that, yeah. I guess, you know.
He really sang.
If he said it once, he said it 1,000 times that night.
Yeah,
somebody else would walk
on
the bus and say, hey, Jim, these socks were white when I put them on this morning. We'd all laugh
again. Another conversation. You know, yeah. Just,
So then where, you know, some other people had come up in there, some, you know, big wig people. I don't know if it's producers or the owner of the venue he was playing, but as soon as he got on there, Daryl said, "Hey, y'all come outside. I got to show you something." Because he didn't want to talk to nobody.
I just thought about this. I was wearing this hat.
You were wearing that hat.
So I was sitting, we were on the bus, and I was sitting up here in that chair. He said, "Oh, hey, man." That's when he said, "Y'all come on. I got something for you in the truck." Now, Daryl's the kind of guy that's got a big Prevost tour bus, you know, fit for road travel anywhere camouflage. In the continental U.S. And super nice rig. But he had his driver take that down there, and he drove his little F-150 down there with a big George
Silverado.
Yeah, it was a nondescript truck. Yeah, and so he said, "You like them trucker hats?" And I go, he said, "Yeah, I got y'all something. Come on."
Yeah, so we walked down there to his truck, and he gets in there, opens the driver door, and reaches back here, and he's got this, I'm just arm loaded, Daryl Singletary, you know, Richardson trucker hats, best hats you can get. So we get two or three of them a piece, and this lady walks up and says, "Oh, Daryl, do you have any more hats? I'd sure like one." And he's holding a bunch of them in his hands, and he goes, throws them over his shoulder in the back seat. He says, "Sorry, man, I'm fresh out."
Fresh out.
So she's standing there aggravating Daryl Singletary, and Daryl Worley was up there playing now. So they had Daryl Singletary and Daryl Worley. And she keeps telling Daryl, "Hey, I need you to go get Daryl Worley for me." Well, Daryl Singletary didn't care nothing about that.
"Can you go get his autograph for me?"
She kept telling him that.
"You go up and get Daryl Worley for me."
Yeah, so she keeps telling him this, and we're all trying to ignore, you know. And she finally said, "Daryl, please go get Daryl Worley for me." He said, "Hang on a second." And he grabs this big gulp, and it's full of some kind of liquid, you know. And he said, I got to pour this pee out. And he rips the top off and dumps it on the woman. She had flip flops on it.
On her feet.
It was sweet tea, I think. But he said
she
didn't
know.
He didn't have time to stop on the way to the show, so he said, "Go in that cup."
Dude, I thought I was going to die. It wasn't the nicest thing in the world, but it was so funny because I'm still starstruck by this dude, you know?
Yeah.
And all I say is he don't have time to mess with nobody but me and Devin. Mm-hmm. So that made us feel cool, you know? Dude, it was so cool.
What did she do when he did that?
She figured out something else to do pretty quick.
Yeah, she just kind of sent it off into the night.
Yeah. All she knew, me and him had three or four hats apiece, you know, and then he's like, "I don't have any more, man. I'm sorry, I hate it for
fresh
you."
Fresh out.
So, long story, I know, but it's cool. So, a couple months later, we would talk on the phone several times a week, and I called him one day. I said, "Hey, Daryl," I said, "it's my, I believe it's my 21st birthday. Yeah, my 21st birthday. 21st birthday. I said, I'm going to have a party." I said, "And I need you to come up here." I said, we'll sing country music and, you know, we'll just jam and whatever.
This is kind of in the middle of a bunch of just goofy talk, just regular goofing off with each other.
And I no more thought nothing about it. I didn't think this was going to happen for nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. We're having my birthday party at this, there's a little building next to where we go to church at in Coleman, and we're going to use it. It's got a stage in it, and it was like a little, you know, Fellowship Paul kind of deal. Had a stage built in there, so... He said, yeah, man, we'll see. He said, "I got to pick up a duck dog that I've got guys training down there anyway." He said, we'll see what I can't do. I said, "Okay."
Yeah, right.
Well, okay, dude, the morning of this party, it's 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock. You know, I'm a musician. I didn't get up before 11 most days. And
didn't go to bed before 3.
Exactly. My phone rings, and it's Daryl Singletary, you know? So I look at my phone, I'm like, 7:30 in the morning, you know, Daryl saying, you know, something's got to be wrong. He needs to ride somewhere, something. I just found hello. He said, "Where you at?" I said, "I'm in bed, dude. It's 7:30 in the morning." I said, "I'm a musician." He said, "Well, I've been here for about 45 minutes. I said, "Been where?" He said, "I'm over here ready for your party." I said, "Dude, the party don't start till like 6 o'clock tonight." He said, "Well, hurry up and get up here. I got somewhere I got to go. I need
to
ride."
We got to go.
So I pull up where we're having my birthday party, and his big Prevost, camouflage Prevost bus is sitting up there stinking Daryl Singletary coming to my birthday party.
At 7:30, ready to go.
It was awesome, dude.
And the funny thing, you know, that's a lot of bus. And it was him and his guitar player, Ricky Land.
Yep.
And then the bus driver were the only three people on there.
Yeah. He had his bus driver drive him all the way.
Incredible.
To go to a birthday party.
Tell us about how the party go.
It was awesome, dude. We sang every Merle Haggard and George Jones song, you know. I mean, hours and hours and hours. He sang. I mean, I bet we stood up there and sang for 4 or 5 hours.
Did he tell you that before he got there, them socks was white?
He mentioned
it. He was on chicken wings that night. Yeah. I watched the man. Dude, what, this is impressive.
I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life.
I hadn't either because it's the first time we both saw it.
He was on chicken wings that night.
And so, you know, like a lot of people who make a living singing, and I just say this, and I don't make a living singing, so they can't, you know, cancel me or whatever.
Cancel you. Yeah,
but,
bro.
You know, without a lot of technological assistance, they sound terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's rare to find anybody anymore that can just
sing. Really sing.
Right. And Daryl was the kind of guy that could sit anywhere, lay down the floor right there and sound just like the record. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and we had, you know, several musicians in. We were all jamming, you know, just kind of taking turns. And I'm playing banjo and I just happened to look up. Daryl's got a pile of chicken bones. I promise.
Dude, that's no exaggeration.
They're this tall on a plate.
I thought to myself, there's no way he's going to sing anything tonight.
Pyramided him up. Feel like a Christmas tree.
So he ate about 80 chicken wings and then got up on stage and sang the best I've ever heard him sing in my whole life for 5 hours.
And he's remember that. That's talent.
I mean, it was strong. But so cool thing is that, so we had gotten real close. Me and Devin were real good friends with him. And I called him the day before he died. I'm talking on the phone to him. So I had a guitar endorsement. So I got, they build really good guitars, and Daryl always played some Alvarez or a dead gun, you know, some pawn shop looking guitar. Well, he said, I called him. I said, hey, I need you to sing at my wedding. I said, I'm going to be getting married in about a year. I said, I need you to promise me you're going to sing at my wedding. He said, I don't know, buddy. He said, I got a problem. I said, well, what is it? He said, I ain't got a guitar like you got. I said, well, how's that got anything to do with me? I just need you to sing at my wedding, you know? He said, I'll tell you what, you get me one of them guitars, I'll sing at your wedding, and hung up the phone.
Yeah.
He did that stuff. He just tortured me with that crap.
Just because.
That was probably 10, 30, 11 o'clock at night.
Yep. So as soon as he hung up the phone on me, I picked up my phone and called the guy who built my guitar. I said, hey, do you know who Daryl Singletary is? Well, this guy's from Quebec. Okay, so...
He may or may not know him.
Well, I think he had heard of him, kind of know who he was. I said, well, look, I said, I need you to trust me. I said, this is going to give your business really good advertisement. It's going to get played everywhere. You need to build him a guitar.
Yeah.
Build him the same guitar you built me and send it to him. So he said, okay, we can do that. So I called Daryl back. I said, I've got you one. He's building it. I said, it'll be a couple months. I said, so, you know, just chill out. We'll get it. He said, all right. He said, you got a deal. I'll sing at your wedding. Wow. The next morning, I get up. I worked at Lowe's down there in Coleman. And I got up. Was in the shower. My phone rings. And it's weird. Something told me to answer it. So I turned the water off in the shower. And I'm standing there soaking wet. And I answered the phone. Hello, it's my sister. She said, did you hear about Daryl? I said, no. I said, I talked to him last night. She said he died.
Man.
I think it was less than an hour after I talked to him.
Unbelievable. Man.
He died.
How did he pass?
He had a heart attack.
Oh.
He got kicked in the leg by a horse.
It passed the blood clot.
And he wore a brace on it for a long time. You know, he wasn't super active. You know, so I think it had something.
Being on the bus a lot of times, I mean, you know, you can't exactly get up and walk across.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the road, so.
Right. So.
Passed the blood clot, went his heart, and killed him.
The next day.
Unbelievable.
Man. Yep.
There's some good stories that you had while you had some time with
us. Absolutely. It was awesome, man.
All right. So that's it. Episode 60.
Wow.
Was incredible. It's a good one.
The big 6-0.
Country music, Grand Ole Opry, these Bluegrass. Two guys. Man.
And aviators.
Before we sign off, I want to give y'all just a second. They can find, you've got music.
Yes.
Just let them know how they can get in touch with you guys if they want more.
Okay. So you can find our music on Apple Music, Spotify, any, you know, streaming music website like that, YouTube. It's Flat Lonesome, FlatLonesome. So that's, you know, there's plenty. We got several albums to listen to, and maybe there's something there somebody will like.
I guarantee it. And then also, if anyone is in the new business or in the business for a new home, either one of these boys can hook you up. Like we said when we started the show, they're in the business. If you don't like your neighbors, they'll find you somewhere else to live.
We'll get you hitched.
Yep.
Where can they find that at, though?
We're located in Regional Homes of Coleman. We're located in Coleman, Alabama. 660 County Road 437.
But let me tell you, I've worked with them enough. They'll sell a home anywhere they can sell a home. Just about guarantee it.
If we can do it, we'll do it for sure.
And they'll put it on you. And they're good homes, quality homes. And these guys right here are quality guys to deal with.
I appreciate it.
Let me also say, if you have a Facebook page,
yes, absolutely. Mobile Homes Coleman. Mobile Homes Coleman. Like it, share it. Every little bit helps.
I'm sure Phil probably attaches in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll tag you up, man.
Put in that description down there, and you know what? That's how I feed my family. So every little bit helps.
They're great musicians, but even better salesmen. Don't go talk to them.
I don't know how we're going to categorize them. I don't know which one's the greatest. I've heard some great stories, great singing, and it sounds like they've sold me on a few things too.
I told you. When I first met him, I just went up there, I was doing work. I was working for Regional. I met Devin and Buddy. Before I know it, I'm signing papers on a house. I'm like, wait a minute.
You can go buy one.
Yeah.
I've got more if you need one.
Yeah, it's no problem. It's a pretty simple process.
Pretty simple process.
Just get your pen.
That's exactly right.
Sign here.
Well, all right. Well, fellas, we can't thank you enough. You've exceeded my expectations. I think this
thank goodness.
Probably one of the best shows we've ever had. So we'll see. The world will tell us.
Yeah. Thank y'all for having us on. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks for having us. We'll meet again.
Y'all watch later. For snakes.
Words of wisdom.
It's getting warmer.
Mr. Devin Avery.
All right. Well, this is Hayden Outbound Podcast, episode 60. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Buddy.
I'm still Devin.
And we'll see you next time.